Scene Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourscene.com.
You know, the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those are
running
CDs
in circles.
You just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
It's the Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. I heard a comedian talk about him and Michael J. Fox. You know, the world, something's wrong with the world when Michael J. Fox is all screwed up and Ozzy's fine.
And you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer, right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, RootyRootRadio.com, BuildTheScene.com/radio, and 107.1 FM, St. Louis, Missouri. My name is Bill, and with me tonight on episode number 447 is Steve Hawk. What's up, Steve?
How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. It's exciting to be on your show. I've been talking to my friends and my fans about it for several weeks now when you and I first touched base.
I love the publicity end of it.
No, well, that's the thing. You know, when we're all involved in it, for me, it's just a hobby, but it's turned into a lot more with guys like you reaching out at times. It's just a lot of fun. And, you know, I don't do it for the publicity. I don't do it for the fame. I just love what I do. And it's fun whenever you meet like-minded people that love what they do. And you can all meet up together and just put on a good show, like in this case, or, you know, just meet each other's hobbies in the middle, you know?
And that's exactly what I tell people about what I'm doing. It's a hobby. I do it on the side, make nothing from it other than friends.
Sure.
And a nice music collection.
Well, I'm sure. That's the best. I've been on Build the Scene. And I've actually played with a lot of bands that I've seen pop up. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, a lot of the basis for the Build the Scene radio station is the years of the Pennsylvania Rock Show, all the music that I've acquired during that. And recently I've gotten a big influx of new bands that are seeing the same thing. They're like, oh, I played with them. What's this?
Yeah, and, absolutely.
And this show is actually booked clear into April, and April 26th currently.
That's exciting.
And it stopped there because I stopped pushing. I was like, I don't need any more for a while.
Right. Well, you say you've been, we talked previously before you started the show, and you said you've been doing this since 2004?
Yes.
That you've had to see a great influx of bands and a lot more participation once the social media started taking off.
Oh, social media made this much easier because it, you know, I live in a little valley. Are you familiar with where Leechburg is? I know you're in the 724 area code, so
Yeah, I've never been to Leechburg, but I've definitely heard of it, and I'm sure the same. I'm from Scottsdale, so. Okay.
I know where Scottsdale,
Arizona. A lot of people think there's an S in there, but no, it's just Scottsdale. It's a small town, probably a lot like a lot of other small towns around here, but we all venture to the larger towns to play our music and whatnot.
I teach in Belle Vernon, which is closer to Scottsdale than Leechburg is.
Oh, you're a teacher?
Yes.
Well, that's what I went to college for, actually. I went to be an art teacher, and it just never panned out. I started a band instead and drove my passion for music instead out of college. So I never did teach. I'm actually I'm working in a warehouse now, and it's just kind of how that goes. But that's not my life. You know, my life is the music, and I make the money so I can go to gigs.
Well, you said that it's pretty much a hobby for you, but you know, you definitely have to have a passion to get out there and get up on stage in front of people, especially solo.
Oh, it's been a lot of fun, Bill. I wasn't always solo. Well, I started out just like every other kid starts out thinking he sucks, you know, and you just kind of keep it to yourself. And I learned it from my older brother. He went to the same college I did. We went to Mount Union College in the Eastern Ohio. And he would come back on summer breaks and he'd have all that was the early 90s. So that was the rush of alternative music, you know. And for you and I, we talked about our ages. We don't have to disclose that here. But that was our generation of music as children growing up in high school and that sort of thing. There were a lot of great bands that came out in that time. And I don't care who you are. And I know every generation says that. But we really had a lot of good stuff to listen to. And so my brother would come home, and I remember laying up in bed. I think I was in sixth grade, and he was several years older than me. He was in college already, and he'd be playing the guitar. And I just admired it. I thought, man, I didn't even know how a person played the guitar. I didn't even know how to make the sound at the time. And he would sit down here, and he played this haunting melody that would just – and he was learning, so he played it over and over again. And I just couldn't understand what song he was playing. Part of me thought maybe he made it up. And I still wasn't versed in a lot of popular bands yet because I was only 12. And he always told me not to touch his guitar because he thought I'd break it, but I really wanted to play it. I really wanted to learn what it was like. And I remember the first time I made a tone out of it while he wasn't around. And I obviously wasn't good at it. I didn't know what I was doing yet. And it just took off, and 2 years later, when I started dabbling with it and actually got my own guitar, I was 14 then, and a lot of my friends were coming up and really ignoring the fact that I was playing guitar because I just was I was bad. I found out that that tune he was playing was "I Could Have Lied" by the Chili Peppers, and yeah, and I was just like, man. So then I learned it, and I was like, okay, this is awesome. It's kind of that you're transcending, so to speak. You know, you're taking something that's in your heart and you're putting it out with muscle memory in your own mind and making it work. And, you know, that's kind of how I got my start. I was 14, but we had a small conversation before this, and you said you were into sports, and I said I was into sports. And nobody in high school knew that I played guitar except my closest friends. I took guitar lessons where the guy was, you know, he'd sit down and he'd say, and he was a great teacher, and he taught me a lot about scales and all that sort of thing, where I got my theory aspect of it. But he'd say, oh, how would you like to learn how to play Dust in the Wind today? You know, it's one of those sort of things. It's like, oh, just like every other kid learning how to play guitar, you know?
That's but, my son was taking guitar lessons. But as I mentioned, things got pretty hectic. So something had to go. So eventually he'll go back to his guitar lessons, but we had to take a break from them. But he wanted to learn I can't remember. It was so funny. His guitar teacher is the lead guitarist for the band The Thieves out of the Valley here.
And okay.
He's phenomenal. And my son goes to him with a pop song.
Yeah, right. Right.
I'm
and,
like,
you know,
I'm like, no.
And as a parent, especially in your case, you're constantly involved with music. You don't want your image and your taste in music to be tainted. You go to somebody else your own age or whatever, and it's like, oh God, no, not this one, son.
it turned out, I mean, it was a perfect song. It only had three chords. But Jeff was like, really? You want to play this?
Let me show you something a little better. Well, hey, can you hear me all right, Bill? I have you on speaker. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you're fine. I'm not getting any background noise or anything.
Okay, good. That's the benefit of living alone.
So how about I'll ask a couple questions. And I mean, you've given me some great stuff, and we just had a conversation. Which is usually what this turns into anyway, but let me throw a couple questions at you.
Absolutely, Bill.
Hey, so normally I would say, okay, where'd you get your band name from? But clearly it's your name.
True.
Unless it's a stage name.
No. I mean, that's the thing. My parents, we were talking about your kids and how you gave your kids names. And I just happened to get a really cool name that fit into music. I wasn't always solo. And that's when I started, I was solo and I just kind of played in my room. I really didn't start taking off with my music until I was 18 and I was alone. I went off to college and I was really popular in high school, knew a lot of people, had a lot of good friends, and I was close to everybody, a lot of people I grew up with. And when I went away, I had nobody. And I had to start all over again. And so I spent a lot of my freshman year in my dorm writing songs and trying to use that as a stepping stone to meet girls and to make friends. And it worked. I made a lot of friends, and I don't know where the music came from, quite honestly. Maybe it was just lonely times, or I had a couple bad breakups, you know. When you're 18, a bad breakup, you know, it's so traumatizing. And you know, you look back on it when you're older and you're just like, yeah, that was really silly. But the thing is, I was able to write songs that were not super immature about it. And a lot of my friends really encouraged me to do this my freshman year. So as friends, and there are like two or three in particular that just every time I put out a new song, even though I wasn't playing anywhere, they were really encouraging about it. And, you know, I played that way, and then I started a band. It was just the guy that lived across from me in the hall. He was a drummer. I played acoustic, and we just practiced in his basement and recorded. And our first song that we did together was Ball and Chain by Social Distortion. And that was one of my major influences once I got away. And I was
looking at your influence list on your Facebook page when you said that.
That And there's so many. I mean, like, you know, whenever Facebook and social media gives you a palette to work from, they really don't. I don't have a small palette. I've been influenced by all sorts of different things. But
let's do it this way.
If
I was
rambling on, so I apologize.
No, it's perfect. If I was to look at your music collection, what bands would be in that collection that clearly would have influenced you?
Well, I grew up listening to oldies. I've always been into bands that always had great harmonies, and that's hard to do when you're by yourself. But I was in a band about 10 years ago called Forgotten Nobody that we played the Pittsburgh circuit, and we were a 3-piece punk blues, highly influenced by Green Day, Social Distortion. The other two guys were influenced by Dream Theater. So we had a lot of eclectic ideas coming together. And I'd have to say, to answer your question, I listened to a lot of new wave stuff, a lot of alternative music. Like I said, the oldies. Bands in particular, we talked about it. Social Distortion was real big whenever I was growing up. I've kind of gotten away from them as I've started to create my own music, but I still enjoy listening to, the guys that brought me here. They were highly influential whenever I was down and out. The Smiths. I loved The Smiths. I had a period of time where I listened to The Cure, Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, Real Big Fish, Chili Peppers were a huge influence.
Speaking of the Chili Peppers, I meant to say this earlier. There's that late night show. I can't think of it. The guy's name, Corden, James Corden, or
yeah.
And he does the karaoke in the car segment.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched the Red Hot Chili Peppers one, you have to. It's amazing.
I bet it's outstanding. Recently, I've been listening to I listened to a lot of Dropkick Murphys, Flogging Molly within the last 10 years. I started listening to Ghost. Obviously, they don't influence my solo stuff, but music is music, and I love just music in general. But I'd have to say what got me to the point, and I figure that's what you're driving with the question, what got me to the point with playing guitar was mainly a lot of early 90s alternative, and one band in particular was Social Distortion. I can't say that I sound like them these days, but you can also hear a little bit of influence in there in certain songs. You asked me what song we would be playing. Glutton for Punishment, that's a song that was highly influenced by them, and I wrote it when I was like 21 years old, when I was in college, listening to these guys a lot. And I actually played this song a lot with my band Forgotten Nobody as well. We just never got to record that one. And so whenever it was a highly influential song, and a lot of fans liked it through the past 15, 20 years that I've been playing. And like I said, I wrote it about 19 years ago. So nobody had an actual audio recording of it. So I sat down with my latest album that came out about 3 years ago and decided I'm going to pump this one out and see what people think of it. And a lot of people love it. And I'm fortunate in that way. You know, I'm pretty humble about my music. I'm just glad people enjoy it, you know?
Mm-hmm. I tell you what, let's take a short break and we'll play that song for the listeners right now.
Not a problem. Things to me, then tell me that you love me. Do anything to me, I know that you can. I'm a glutton for punishment, sucker when you banish me, and now you're gone. Take what you can. Mean.
They use me, even though they're underfoot. They break me, I guess I'm too good. That's why I must explain that I'm not finished yet. I'm just a glutton for punishment. Yeah, punish me with lies, make me break all my ties. But I love you anyway. Punish me with lies, punish me with your lies, yeah. I hear you talk about me behind the walls. I see you laughing when I take my fall. Now I must explain that I'm not finished yet. I'm just a glutton for punishment. Yeah, punish me with lies, make me break all my ties. But I love you anyway. Punish me with lies, punish me with your lies. Yeah, lies over lies, 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 over lies. Do wicked things to me, then tell me that you love me. Do anything to me because I know that you can. I'm a glutton for punishment, sucker when you banish me. And now you're gone, take what you can, take what you can, take what you can, take what you can. We'll be right back.
inside the cosmos.
Hey, it's Bill. This is Pennsylvania Rock Show, episode number 447. If you are just tuning in, you missed the first segment with Steve Hawk. He is with me. We were chatting off the air while you guys listened to his song, Glutton for Punishment. And he talked a little bit about the song, gave us a little bit of insight onto how he became a musician. And I'm going to give him a couple more questions, but it'll probably be more conversation-based because I'm having fun talking to him about music. So I'm going to throw a question at you, Steve, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Sure thing, Bill. Hit it.
So if you could open up for any artist, like international touring artist, who would you want to open for and where would you want to start the tour at?
That's a really good question because as much as I've dreamt about it in the past, that's often changed. Obviously I talked about Social Distortion in the past and honestly, I'm talking a lot about them, but that's changed for me too. I would have loved to open up for them or even, Mike Ness's solo stuff. He put that out in like the 99, I believe. And I would have loved to open up for him. But at this point in my life, I'm not real picky. I just enjoy playing. I want to keep my pipe dream small. So as of right now, I'd have to say I'd like to play Stage AE in Pittsburgh just to get things going. I've never played there. I've played a lot of the other Pittsburgh venues like the Hard Rock and Club Cafe and things like that. And I've played so much and I've met so many people local friendships, local bands, underground unsigned bands, even bands that are on their way or going someplace. And to tell you the truth, I've always kept a level head about it. People have asked me, what would you do if you met Mike Ness? I said, I'd shake his hand and say, hey, nice to meet you. I'm Steve Hawk. You know what I mean? That's just kind of how I look at things. Like I said.
Off the air, you mentioned that you hung out with now I'm going to blank on their name. Sugar Ray.
Real Big Fish.
Real Big Fish, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to go into that story.
No. But
that was just one of those weird random, and they probably don't even remember who the hell I am. I was in college. That was over 20 years ago. They were playing at my college, and I kind of busted in the room where they were, and it was a story another time.
And you hung out with them.
Briefly, yes, yeah. Briefly. To answer your question, I honestly don't care who I would open up for now. I, like I told you off the air, I'm opening up for Mike Tramp of White Lion and John Corabi of Motley Crue and Rat fame coming up here in March.
Where is that show at?
That's going to be the Craft House Stage and Grill. I've never been there before, quite honestly, but it's through Drusky Entertainment and Iron City Rocks. I think that's
yes.
The affiliation there.
That's another local podcast.
Awesome. Awesome. It's a podcast. Good deal. I'm not podcast savvy. I've just started listening to podcasts recently and I'm really starting to get into them. But I have to have guys like you come along and say, hey, listen to my podcast. And I'm not going to turn it down because I love it. But I don't know where to go yet. I just kind
of. Iron City Rocks covers more of the major label scene coming through the city.
Okay.
But if you go to the link page, there is a link to my podcast on it.
Nice. Yeah, the thing is, I promote myself pretty well, and I promote my friends' bands as well. And and a lot of people want to hear what I've got going on, so, you know, you'll probably get a lot of hits from my fans once once this starts rolling.
Well, why don't you go ahead and mention some of your friends' bands? We'll get them a little bit of airtime.
Awesome. Yeah, this is great. I've been friends with a guy by the name of Ed Kelso. That's not his Facebook name, but he has a band called Highway Louie, and they're very passionate.
I play them.
Excellent. Yeah, they're good friends of mine. I've been friends with Ed, the lead singer, and the bassist, Andrew. We had a run back whenever I first started this solo gig back 2010, 2011. They were in another band together with like four or five other guys, and it was just a big conglomerate. And I thought they were good, but it was one of those deals where the chemistry wasn't going so smooth. But now it seems like Highway Louie and Ed and Andrew and the other guys in the band are really – they're taking it to another level, and they all four are very passionate about it. I've played a lot of shows with a band called Adelaide in Autumn. I was there the night that their genre name was formed. They like to say they're pop punk and roll. And I've done so many shows. I took them to Cleveland with me whenever we've played out there near Lakewood, Cleveland. And I've played several. They're from Greensburg, and I've played several gigs with them, from small venues to like Club Cafe in Pittsburgh, and the Hard Rock. We've played the Hard Rock together, and in Pittsburgh in Station Square. And they're another good band. They're still kicking it too. Foobar is a band I just met, and they're all really nice guys. We played Bar None in Uniontown together, which I'm playing there tomorrow night. But by the time this airs, I figure there's no sense in plugging that one. You know,
it'll be yesterday.
Yeah, right. Come on out yesterday. It'll be a great show last night. But
I do also play Foobar.
Okay, they're very talented guys. I saw them. There's a band that just started from Connellsville called First Hit. They're kind of a reggae punk with a lot of Sublime influence, I would say. I'm not doing them justice, because you know how everybody has their own influences going on. And there's another solo artist which I'm playing with in early February, Groundhog Day. We're playing at our local watering hole, the Everson Vets. I'll play anywhere for anybody, and I love playing vet halls and private clubs as well, because that's where you find your true fans. Well, anyway, this guy that I'm playing a show with, he goes by So Death Cannot Find Me. He's also a guy I went to high school with, and I met him whenever I was having a benefit for my niece. She is currently at Children's Hospital with leukemia. My family was doing a benefit, and he came out of nowhere and he said, "Hey, listen, I play music. I have a daughter that has the same name as your niece, and that kind of drove a passion in me." And so, once again, he goes by So Death Cannot Find Me. He's darker, but his lyrics are incredible. He kind of has like a Murder by Death solo feel. And like I said, he's a good friend of mine, and we're doing a show together down there February 2nd at the Everson Vets. It's open to the public, and anybody can show up. I'll be playing with all of these different bands. There's several other bands that I know I've played with over the years, and I apologize for not mentioning all. But as of right now, these are the bands. We're all being featured down on, I believe it's WCLG Homegrown, WCLG Rocks out of Morgantown. Every Sunday night, we've all been like plugging each other to get radio play for Morgantown, and they've been doing it down there for us, and it's been a lot of fun. Just listening to all of our friends' bands play and stuff like that. The best part about it is just kind of like what you and I are doing here. We're passionate about what we do, and when you all get out together on a show night, you have something in common, you know. And even if you're not really into a particular band's music, they get off the stage and you know what they've put into it, and you can say, "Wow, man, that was great. You know, good for you." And I a lot of times you do take something from it as well, you know.
That's I earn my living standing in front of people and talking. I cannot get up on a stage and talk. So looking at these bands that are putting their blood, sweat, and tears into playing and singing, I have nothing but mad props for anybody that does that.
I'll be honest. When I was 19, well, you know, I told you a little bit about how I started. When I was 14 to like 19 years old, pardon me, I couldn't do it. I played it. I did it, you know, and I was up in front of people for things in school, you know, chorus concerts and band things, and this and that, you know, the stupid stuff that you know, always, I shouldn't say stupid, but like, you know, as a kid, And honestly, I formed my band, and whenever my band broke up, and it was actually Ed Kelso of Highway Louie who encouraged me to do this, I was kind of like, nah, man, I don't want to do this. Nobody wants to hear an acoustic act. He's like, dude, you encouraged me to start a band, and I was wondering if you guys would let us open up for you. And I was like, you know what, Ed, I'm sorry, but we broke up about 2 years ago, and we haven't gotten back together, and I can't see that happening anytime soon. So sorry. And I don't have a guitar that can even plug into anything, not an acoustic. And he's like, oh, well, think about it. I'm having a house party and some friends are coming over. Why don't you play some music? I sat on my laurels for a little bit, and then he called me again. He said, you know, what about coming over tonight? And I was like, I still didn't have a guitar. I had some inheritance money from my grandfather who passed away, so I went out to Guitar Center in Monroeville, bought the guitar I play now, and went straight to his house and put on a show, and everybody loved it. And I thought, you know, I can do this. Maybe I was wrong about this acoustic thing. Well, I took a lot of my – you're saying how you can't get up in front of people. Being in a band from 2005 to 2006 and actually playing some real Pittsburgh, you know – landmarks, you know, hot spots, I should say, really taught me a lot about people and myself and stage presence. And I kind of came at it now, and I don't care now what happens on stage. It's one of those things that I love it. I love to do it. If you don't like my music, that's totally cool. There's millions of other songs out there. Just don't be a jerk and have fun and, you know, show me a little bit of love for doing it. You don't have to. That's cool. You know, it's one of those things where I'll do it anyway. And that's how a lot of other people, it's fun seeing friends, especially like with Highway Louie, seeing the first incarnation of it to what Ed's doing with it now. And we're all just trying to be a family of our own. And the music scene in the Greensburg area is really, really good. We have a lot of neat little venues in the area. As a matter of fact, I want to plug one other place too, the Keynote Cafe in Jeanette. They have brought in a lot of young musicians, a lot of old musicians, and that's actually one of the first places I ever played. So that's just one place that's local around the Greensburg area that brings in a lot of people. All these places get mixed up in my brain of where I was. You know, this was either there or Club Cafe. I can't remember. And I was opening up, and I was doing Ball and Chain by Social Distortion as a sound check, because I don't do too many covers when I play live. And when I do covers, I play them in my own style so that people, you know, get a different flavor of it and can take something with it. But I'm doing Social Distortion, Ball and Chain as a sound check, and these three kids all in black with white face paint on, black hair, like dyed hair, and they come up, and they were obviously some sort of goth or emo band, but they were just kids. They were like 18, just starting off, and I felt so bad about saying this, but it's kind of – I couldn't help it because just the situation that was in front of me, like, oh man, your name's Steve. That's great. That was a great cover of Social Distortion. And I looked at him and I said, oh, thanks, My Chemical Romance. That means a lot. and the lead singer, I could tell he just was so disheartened. And I like put my hand out in defense. I was like, listen, dude, I'm sorry. I just couldn't help it. And he's like, was it that obvious?
Well, when you initially said it, the band that popped into my head was damn it, the Juggalos are their fans.
ICP,
yes, which by the way, geez. Ugh.
That's a cult. That is a cult.
I used to work at Kennywood, and they would have an international Juggalo day that they would all show up. And the park would close early every time that happened.
Well, I'm surprised the park was still there whenever they were done. That's the thing. They're a special breed. And when I meet somebody out on the street, it's like, I'm a Juggalo, or yeah, I've got the Juggalo sticker on my back. I'm like, I give them some space, man, because you never know what they're kind of like a pit bull that was in the fighting ring for a while. You know, you don't know what's going to come with that. Well, I'll tell you what, man, that's the thing. I try to just stay away from politics, you know, when it comes to my music. I have one political song, and even though it's political, I don't tell you in the song what side my politics are on. And when it comes to music, it's so disheartening when bands are on stage and they're trying to talk to you about their politics. It takes a little bit away from me. I don't care who it is. I've seen both sides of the spectrum talk about their particular politics on stage. And when you're on stage like that, you do have a lot of power. And especially when you're a big band, you have people that have saved money, you know, in a piggy bank to come see you, kids that have influential minds. Mm-hmm. And you're up there talking to them about Trump or anti-Trump or, you know, and quite honestly, I think it's distasteful. Dave Grohl came out on Facebook and he talked about how he, and I don't know what it was an interview for, but I admired it wholeheartedly because I agreed with it. I don't necessarily listen to a lot of Foo Fighters anymore. When they first came out, I loved them because they were kind of like the next Nirvana. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
But what he said was, you know, I don't talk politics. People come to our shows and I try to figure out a way, and I'm paraphrasing here. I try to figure out a way to bring people together. Music's supposed to bring people together. And I'm going to just say this once because I don't want to really talk politics too much, but the social distortion thing where Mike Ness jumped off stage and punched someone just because they were giving him the middle finger. He might have been wearing a Trump hat or something. I don't know. But that's not necessary, man.
No.
And whether it was staged, whether it wasn't staged, this dude's there to see your music too. Now, sure, he was probably like, you know, starting some shit or something like that. You do have the right as an American citizen and as a human being to tell other people how you feel about a certain side. But I don't think that being on stage, if you are not a political band, I don't think being on stage is the right time to talk your politics. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. My favorite thing, and this is kind of an about face, but it is sort of on topic. My favorite thing that the Foo Fighters do is when they let the fans come up and play with them. I spend nights just watching them do that on YouTube.
That little kid that had the Kiss makeup on a few months back. Wow, was that outstanding, huh?
Yeah, I absolutely love that. And then in the local scene, and it's sort of similar, I love when a band brings up somebody from another local band and they play. They see, oh, hey, Bill Postal from Doppler Effect is here. Why don't you come up here and play a song with us? I love that stuff.
That's exciting. I'm so in tune to my own stuff that it gets hard for me to bring other people up to play along. But I've been dying to do some collaboration with other bands. And a lot of people come up to me that after my shows. They're like, oh, man, that song would sound great with these drums and this and that. So it is. Music is a powerful thing, and it's a beautiful thing, and it's one of the. I feel blessed that I'm able to do it. There's a lot of things in my life that I hate to do. You know, everybody does. Nobody really wants to work. Let's face it. But when you can put in some time, and when the work is fun, and there's a lot of reward, spiritually, you know, physically, emotionally, then. And you form friends on top of that. It's you can't beat it. And music is so much more than that. You know, it's inside a lot of us, and it's just kind of always there.
Let me ask you one more question, and then I'll let you go for the evening. You mentioned your last album, which means there's more than one. where can someone get a hold of your music from?
Well, I currently have everything digital. I'm on iTunes. I'm on Google Play. I'm going to whisper this one, but Spotify. I'm on Spotify. No, we all love what we do, but it's nice to get a little kickback from it.
You are on my Spotify playlist.
That's what I like to hear, Bill.
That is shared on all my websites too. So
that's awesome, man. And I really appreciate you picking me up for Build the Scene too. That's great. But my current album is called The Demons in My Heart's Home, and that's kind of a segue title to, I believe it's the last song on my album, Some Sort of Sacrifice, where in it I have the line, I alone fight the demons in my heart's home for all the hell I've raised. And so to me, I was like, you know, of all the broken hearts and all the times I sat around and drank too much thinking about something stupid that, or some girl or some, but, all those things and all the songs, and you have these piles of memories, and you know, people call them ghosts, some people call them demons, some people get over it and don't call them anything at all, and at times my heart's been ravaged and it's gone to places where it didn't mean to go, and I alone have had to fight those demons for all the hell I've raised. And so I figured my first professional solo album, that's the perfect title for it. And I worked with a guy out of Armburst. This guy is super, super talented. His name is Daniel Blake. And
I saw someone tag him the other day on Build the Scene. I posted asking about producers and studios, and he was one of the people that got tagged.
You got to touch base with this kid. He's, I don't know how old he is. He's several years younger than me, but he had his own dream, which was to start a studio. So he bought a building behind his parents' place, and it was an old schoolhouse. And when I first started recording with him, I recorded my song Just in Case, or songs off of this album. We did it in his room because I was so eager to get started, and he was so eager to just have me to be his first guinea pig, so to speak, that we just, well, let's screw it. Let's do it. Let's record in the room here. Well, then he took me out to his schoolhouse. I told him what I wanted. I said, I'm going to be solo, and it's not going to be a very complicated album. I want people to hear what it sounds like when I'm on stage, but I do want a little bit of color and a little bit of flair and flavor to it. And I said, I'm coming out just kind of like a guitar gangster with, like, you know, no care in the world, me against the world type scenario. And so I kind of want it to sound like an old 50s type sound, and he said, that's perfect, I got a good idea. So he had the equipment to go over the top of what I was saying, but he had me sit in the center of his studio in the schoolhouse, this old schoolhouse that he refurbished into a studio, and put microphones in the corners of this large studio to give it that echo effect. And I thought, and he used like an old, and I'm not savvy with recording equipment, but he had like a 1960s processor or something like that. And so those two things combined give you the small ambience of my album and the effects. There were really no major effects here and there, but he brought out that 50s feel, and I feel, so I could be totally wrong, but it's on, the album is on all digital platforms. And whenever it first started coming out, I was, you know, being excited about it. I would just search my name because it was kind of cool being on the internet, you know. And let's just pull out the old 12-year-old fanboy, you know. And I found that I was on digital platforms in like Russia and other places like that. I was like, I don't even know how to read this, but that's my logo, you know.
Well, hey, so, Steve, I want to thank you for coming on the show.
Bill, sorry I talked so much.
No, I told you it's perfect. Everyone got a good bit of insight into who you are and where your music comes from, which is the goal of the show.
Everybody's really complicated. You just have to kind of listen to them from time to time. You know what I mean?
I do. So Once again, this has been episode number 447 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. You can join us next week when, see, here's where I should have been more prepared. I'm going to go to my website, parockshow.com, so that I can tell you who's on the show next week.
Well, Bill, I want to just take the time and thank you for reaching out to me, putting me on Build the Scene, my music. People can listen to it there. And I love talking about the music. So thank you very much for reaching out to me and making me a part of your show.
No problem at all. Thanks for agreeing to be on. Here we go. So next week will be Wicked Earth. And then we'll follow that up with Iron Sight. And then we're going to go to Ohio for a little bit and hang out with Akaria. Then Children of October. I'm just going to keep going. March 1st is Silver Tongue Devil. They're from Texas. Rocky Dennis Face, Steel City Crew. That'll be a new one. We're gonna talk to David. The reason I say it's a new one, it's gonna be the first time that I have a tribute band on the show. Then on March 22nd, we will have Brad Abbott on.
No, I'm with Brad. I'm playing with him at the keynote.
Oh, cool. Then I don't have anyone booked for the 29th yet. I keep trying. April 5th, I have Human Delusion. Fubar is on April 12th. Wretched Hive on April 19th. And Feast on the Fallen is April 26th. And I also have a brand new podcast out if you guys want to check it out. It's called Three Questions and a Song. That one is going to be where I concentrate more on the bands outside of Pennsylvania. And it literally is three questions. I ask two questions, and then the artist that was on the week before asked the third question, and the guest tells us a little bit about a song and we play the song. It's about a 10-minute podcast, so for those of you with short drives to work, it's a perfect time for you. Those of you with the long drives like me, that's what the Pennsylvania Rock Show is for.
stand.